If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
And now, a man who spent the last 12 hours whispering, "It's only the preseason. It's only the preseason. It's only the preseason." Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks for joining us here on a Friday. We've got a football game to break down. And I'm not going to overreact. I'm not going to do it. It's a preseason game. As you just said, Curtis, I have been telling myself that. I told myself that last night. I was not going to get all fired up.
My other possibility was now here to talk you off the ledge.
Sure.
There's some people who were already on the ledge. Yeah, and, a handful of people.
And I get it. Listen, you're a fan. You have the right to get fired up. You know, you can look good while being vanilla.
Sure.
You know, there's. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You can look good while being vanilla. And the Chiefs didn't look good. But I do want to caution folks from overreacting. It is just one game. It is just preseason. This will not matter. You will not tell me what they did in their first preseason game last year.
I think I remember who they were playing.
I have no idea.
I think they played the 49ers.
Couldn't
here.
Tell you.
But couldn't I can't remember you. Anything else.
So, anyway, I do think it's – You know, it's a little disappointing, yes. You know, you want to win them all, right? And I think Andy Reid would like to win them all, but not at the cost of tipping his hand at all. The job is to get ready. If they're winning football games, they got a tough, tough six games to start the year. And if they come out of there 3-3, 4-2, this is a really good team. It's a really good team. But this was not overly impressive and disappointing on the Patrick Mahomes side of things. Whether it was what he did, what they did schematically, he said, you know, they took the things that were there, what were given to them. I'm fine with that. I'm fine if they're vanilla. I'm not going to freak out if Patrick Mahomes doesn't put up big numbers at any point in the preseason. But I will say this, there have been guys who have, right? It's not mandatory that you come out there and do nothing. And look, I'm a big fan of Patrick Mahomes. I'm very optimistic. I've got a level of confidence that he's going to be fairly good. All those things. But, you know, at some point we got to start grading him. And, Curtis, you pulled some of the numbers on the preseason games. We wanted to look and see, okay, what did the preseason look like for Alex Smith in 2013, his first year as a starter for Andy Reid? And then we had one of our listeners, I think it was Gary, who sent us that this would be only the third time, at least of recent vintage, third time that a team has had a top five offense and they changed quarterbacks. The two previous were the Vikings going from Jeff George to Dante Culpepper and the Packers going from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. So we thought, well, let's go back and look and see what those guys did in their preseason games. Because those players, Aaron Rodgers and Dante Culpepper, inherited a top five offense and kept it in the top five. So what did their preseasons look like and what should we expect from Patrick Mahomes? Is there anything we can draw from that and say, okay, here's a reason not to panic. Here's a reason to freak out. What do you have? First game for Alex Smith in 2013, he was 7 of 8 for 68 yards, averaged 8.5 yards per attempt. That compares to what we saw last night from Patrick Mahomes, 5 of 7 for 33 yards, which comes in at just under 5 yards per attempt. So Alex Smith was better. Appreciably better. I mean, no, it wasn't hugely better, but better. He was better. Just so you know, looking ahead to what Alex Smith would do in the next couple of games. Second game, right, top to bottom. Am I going in the right order? 7 of 16 for 62 yards. That's completing just 44% and less than 4 yards per attempt. Third game, 17 of 24 for 158, a touchdown and no INT. Still very short, very dink and dunkish at under 7 yards per attempt, but completing 71% of his passes. Certainly a little bit more of an indicator of what he would end up being for the Chiefs.
Did not play a fourth game.
Yeah. And then he did not play in the final game. So overall, his preseason that year, he was 31 of 48 for 288 yards. completed 65% through only one touchdown and no INTs. Let's take a look at what Aaron Rodgers did. Well, let's go to Culpepper. Let's build to Aaron Rodgers. Dante Culpepper's first preseason game, he was 8 of 14 for 140, completing 57% of his passes, 10 yards per attempt, a touchdown, and an INT. Second game, 12 of 23, 23 attempts, 129 yards, a TD, and two INTs. Third game, 13 of 23 for 311, two touchdowns and no INTs. Final game, 10 of 14 for 171, 1-0. Overall, he completed 43 of 74 for 751, 58%, averaged over 10 yards per attempt. So they were not shy about going down the field.
Low percentages, but massive yards per attempt.
Five touchdowns and three interceptions. Aaron Rodgers, first game. 9 of 15 for 117 yards, a touchdown, and an INT. Both these guys threw an INT. It's one of the reasons why I was like, I don't mind if he throws an interception. I want to see him be aggressive. We didn't see him be aggressive. Hmm. Not at all. He talked about maybe taking a shot at Kelsey, and then he ended up pulling the ball down and taking a sack. And he said, let's don't make a bad play worse. And we'll hear some of the comments of him. I'll probably just play it, but I don't have it in front of me. I'll get to it in a minute. I don't want to make a bad play worse. Just eat it and go. Look, he didn't kill the football team. And, you know, he'd have a chance to get in a rhythm and get going. But he wasn't as good as Dante Culpepper and Aaron Rodgers were in their initial preseason game. What's it worth? I don't know. You know what's worth to me? 3-4 minutes of a 4-hour show on a Friday after I got to talk about a preseason game. That's what it's worth to me. You figure out what it's worth to you. But I got to come up with something today off that turd, and that game was a turd, right? I'm not angry, but it was a turd. It was dull. It was a letdown. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It was a letdown. I don't care if there's four more or three more letdowns. If they kick ass in the regular season, that's what it's about. Just to complete the task, what Aaron Rodgers would do. Again, first game, 9 of 15 for 117, 1-1. Next game, 9 of 16, 0-0. Third game, 18 of 22 for 193, 1-0. I do think we're looking at, with what Alex Smith did in his third game, what Culpepper did in his third game, and what Aaron Rodgers did in his third game, we know that's the one that they treat like a regular one. They game plan a little bit. They come out and play in the second half. He lays an egg in game three. Who's it against?
I don't know. It's at Chicago. That's the noon game.
Okay, and I'm not – the Bears have some defensive personnel, but they go out and lay an egg. He lays an egg against Chicago. Then we'll have our first red flag.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Atlanta's next, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to worry about anything against Atlanta, but if he bombs against the Bears in the third game, that'll be our first official red flag. Because collectively, Alex Smith was 17 of 24 for 158, 1-0. Dante Culpepper was 13 of 23 for 311, 2-0. And Aaron Rodgers was 18 of 22 for 193, 1-0. Overall, out of those three quarterbacks, 48 of 67 for 661 yards.
That's exactly 10 yards per attempt.
10 yards per attempt. They collectively threw four touchdowns and no INTs.
75% completions, just basically, isn't it?
Yeah.
For 60, yeah.
So, you know, those are three guys. Listen, high bar. But we're not looking for Patrick Mahomes to be Steve Bono.
Right.
If he's
Steve Bono, they've made a terrible draft pick.
Listen, there's no doubt about it. He needs to be better than Alex Smith. Now, he can be 90% of Alex Smith at 33% of the cost, and this football team can get better, right? But what? Get better. Lose by four to the Patriots in the playoffs now? You know, still have no hope against the Roethlisbergers and Bradys? You know, the goal is far more than just this team getting 2% better. The hope is that he's 150% of Alex Smith, becomes one of the truly elites, and is cheaper, and they put more talent around him, and they become the elite force in the AFC. That's what you want to see.
Yeah, and it isn't just comparing the how much they made, because it didn't cost the Chiefs just the money to pay Patrick Mahomes. It cost them the draft picks that it required to move up. So it goes beyond that.
A pick the Buffalo Bills used in 2017 to draft what would be the Defensive Rookie of the Year in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
So at corner.
Yeah.
At a position of need. A
position that you went out and had to trade your quarterback to get. I mean, a guy you got back for your quarterback because somebody else was going somewhere else. So, yeah.
So we'll take your thoughts and reactions to the game last night right now at 913-3810-810. You can grab a line. Bob already has. We're going to get Bob's thoughts on this coming up here in a minute. 913-3810-810. Adam Teicher will be along in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll get his thoughts on the game. Two-minute drill. We're also going to talk to Vinny Iyer. No.
I've only written it and texted it. I have never spoken it.
So when
we'll find out how it's pronounced, I guess.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Iyer's a good guess.
Looks like Iyer, yeah.
I-Y-E-R.
When I first saw it, I thought, did you miss a letter? Is it Iyer? But it looks like Iyer.
He writes for the Sporting News. They have compiled their predictions for the NFL, and they do not have the Chiefs in the playoffs.
2-14. Amazing. No.
Not quite.
They do really not like the AFC West unless you play in L.A.
Yeah. Chargers at a walk. Chiefs at 8-8. Chargers, what, 13-3? Chiefs 8-8, and then 7-9 for the Broncos and Raiders. And we'll get his thoughts on what the Chiefs are lacking. Listen, isn't anything we watched last night that's going to make them feel like they need to back off that 8-8, is there?
Mm-mm.
No.
They're set to go defensively. Looking good there.
We'll bring you the highlights, or maybe, depending upon how long it is, the entire teleconference of Andy Reid today, as he'll meet with the media via the telephone. So we'll bring you the highlights of that a little bit later on, and then the 1 o'clock hour, Stump the Chumps. Your chance to win that phenomenal Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen, with our buddy Peter Yates Enoch when he joins us in the 1 o'clock hour. But we are talking Chiefs to begin. Other thing I want to point out before we go to the phones, and a couple people grabbing a line, a couple lines open, 913-3810-810. You can hit me up on the Twitter, at SorenPetro, SorenPetro, with your thoughts about the game last night. And again, there will be no real frustration until game three, okay? I'm going to treat the defense the same way I'm going to treat Patrick Mahomes. Game three, I expect to see something. Game three, I expect to see something out of the defense. Was it tough? A toughness? That's what the draft picks were about, was the toughness.
Mm-hmm.
An edge, maybe?
Physical. Edge. Did you, Damon, get that vibe out of that?
Did not.
No.
No edge.
Saw nothing. Nothing. And frankly, I'm not going to panic, but I'm not going to celebrate that change has arrived and that they're ready to go. They played a soft, what I would consider to be, you know, no, don't get beat deep coverage early. They let them catch everything underneath, rally to the ball to make some tackles. But I didn't see any punishing hits. The one guy, I mentioned this in the Central Bank of the Midwest pregame show, Breland Speaks, is the guy I wanted to see. I saw nothing. I saw no pass rush move whatsoever from him. None. Zero.
He had one seemingly fairly effective bull rush, but the guy got the wood ball away.
Effective in what way?
I mean, he actually, a situation where he actually moved the guy back at a pretty rapid, but it was a quick release. And so you didn't see a replay of it, I don't think. So. But
we didn't see any replays.
Not many.
There was not an emphasis on the sport of football last night. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. I saw one play in which he pushed a guy who was on the right side. So he pushed either, I think it was left tackle, maybe a tight end. I think it was left tackle, just pushed him in the backfield. That was one play. I didn't see much other than that. There was one play where Tano Passanio, when they're going the other direction, he hit the right tackle with a nice power, quick inside move. Got into him and was right at the feet of the quarterback. Again, a quick release. But he beat his man. I was like, hey, Passanio literally beat a guy. Didn't just outlast him. He beat him. But there was few and far between last night, guys beating guys.
So I don't think there's any way to put lipstick on this pig. It was disappointing. Disastrous? No. I mean, they only gave up 17 points. They only scored 10. That sucks. I mean, so there's no way to pretty this up and act like it was great. There wasn't a lot to really like there, but it was very vanilla. Obviously, in what they're doing, we're not going to overreact to it. But, you know, I'm going to say straight out in the next two games, because I don't know that Patrick Mahomes is going to play in the fourth game. I want to see a Russell Wilson moment. Right? We watched a star be born
right here
in Arrowhead Stadium, and he owned the stage.
Brilliant.
And if they broke out the regular offense, and that's why they kicked the Chiefs' butts up and down the field. And I remember after that game, a lot of conversation coming from folks that get paychecks over at Arrowhead, talking about how the Seahawks, they were playing all their ones, and they stayed with their ones way longer. And okay, well, mission accomplished as far as developing their quarterback. Because Russell Wilson is a stud. And that, to me, was at least where his star was born for me, was watching him in Arrowhead, and you went, 5'10 and a half? I don't care. That guy can ball. I want to see that at some point. For some window, I want to see that out of Patrick Mahomes. We all love him. We're all excited. It's great. But at some point, rubber's got to meet the road. At some point, he's got to start playing well. Ultimately, that's the regular season. I'm not mad, I'm not angry, I'm not frustrated, but I do want a moment where you look and go, there it is. That's the elite talent. And we didn't get it last night. Two more games to maybe get it. 913-3810-810. Bob, Michael, you guys are going to lead us off. You can grab a phone line right now if you want to talk about last night's game. 913-3810-810. You're in the program.
Too many mistakes for this game, but and that's what the preseason is for. We'll go back and work on those things and clean up some things. Small things matter, and it's good for these guys to learn that.
It's Andy Reid after the game last night. We'll hear a little bit more from Andy Reid. His teleconference today. He'll get had a chance to now look at the film, and we'll see what he says after that. Coming up a little bit later on here in the program, at the 12 o'clock hour, 913-3810-810. Talking Chiefs football here, and of course, already people.
Sorry, we had to interrupt the Chiefs talk to do a little Taylor Swift talk. You guys know she's coming to town? You guys heard about it?
You know, Merv told me the one thing he got out of watching the game last night was that Taylor Swift has a concert coming up at Arrowhead.
You know, I hadn't heard that, but luckily they mentioned it the one time last night.
I thought when they said I knew Houston was trouble when they walked in, I thought they kept going to that thing a little bit much like that.
Yeah, you got it. And then Perry, and he said, you seem to be drawing conclusions from a preseason game. Wouldn't the first thing, we're not drawing conclusions from this game, but we do have to talk about it. What do you want me to do? Nice. Didn't see it, guys. Don't know. How'd it look?
In other news, how about that Burt Smith-Austin Gomber matchup tonight?
They scored 10 points. The quarterback, you know, average 4 yards a throw. I mean, what? I don't know. It was great. God, they look good.
Man, those uniforms are clean.
How about that?
Oof.
I'm not going to kiss your team's ass, even if it's my team, man. It's not going to happen. So if that's what you want, there's plenty of people out there going, you go find them.
Don't want to draw conclusions, but now there's no doubt. 0-16.
So I love me some Patrick Mahomes. Last night's not the highlight reel. I want to show my kids. Oh. About the Hall of Fame career of Patrick Mahomes. That ain't it. I mean, that's a fact, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Then don't call in before next week's game.
Yeah.
You know, you spend three or four days talking about, here's all I want to see tonight. And the game happens like, that's a preseason game.
I mean, listen, it's it. We always, you know, there's no bigger overreaction than after opening day of baseball.
Right.
Because it's treated like, you know, opening day or the last game of the season in a pennant chase because we have nothing else to compare it to. And here, are we over-analyzing this? Yes. Do you want me? What is this? I don't even know. What is this turd matchup we've got tonight for a pitching matchup? Do you want me to break this down?
Yeah.
Go ahead, lay it on me.
It's
what is it?
Burt Smith against Austin Gomber.
Those aren't real names.
Merv on Twitter says, right. That pitching matchup sounds like a jail cell fight in Mayberry that Barney Fife lets get out of control. I'm like, that is brilliant.
So listen, what do you want me to do? Overanalyze preseason game number one of the Chiefs or break down this tussle?
Gober, Sosby, and
I mean, come
Burt
on,
Smith.
Man. Listen.
The least anticipated Royals-Cardinals matchup ever.
I'm going to talk about the Chiefs. That's what I'm going to do. You know, if you're blinded by your fandom. I'm sorry, man, but that game was not pretty. They scored 10 points. They only allowed 17, but the defense, I didn't see a toughness or a physicality. I don't care. You know, they stomp all over the Chargers' guts, 42-10 in L.A. Life is good. But this is the tape. Do you want me to call it tape? This is the tape I have to break down now. And it was, you know, it was a letdown. That's it. And we move on. We move on and we get excited for the game against the Falcons. That's it. We get back up to St. Joe. They do some more work, and hopefully it looks a little more impressive. But at the end of the day, Andy Reid has 5 consecutive winning seasons, back-to-back AFC West championships, and he handpicked this quarterback. Now, he was on board with this selection.
My expectation?
I still feel really good.
My expectation? This team will probably be pretty good this year.
Yes, that's...
What do I think? I think they'll probably win 9 or 10 games.
If you want me to draw an aggressive conclusion, I'm pissed at Jason Morrow. You're supposed to be the prodigal son to take Harris off the roster.
How about friendly fire, former college teammate. Nah, I don't want to block him.
No.
I'm going to run here in the grass. What happened?
But Alex Ellis, is it?
Yeah, he was the guy that was catching.
Caught everything on the last drive. You know. I'll say this, you know, let's look for positives. I'll give you a positive. I thought Chad Henne was better than I saw him be in practice, you know, and I thought he threw a beautiful touchdown pass, a strike to Marcus Robinson, looked good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like that. O-line could have been better, but, you know, didn't really see the first unit out there much, just like Patrick Mahomes. No definitive conclusion to be drawn there yet.
DeMarcus Robinson, nice double move, stop and go twice, and beat a guy to the corner, and he put it on his right on his hands.
I mean, I think the one thing we can conclude definitively here is that Kareem Hunt was a one-hit wonder.
Absolutely.
One carry, 1 yard. I mean,
he might not gain 100 yards this year.
Success went to his head. He was on pace for 16 yards on the season. That's awful. That would be almost a record.
Chase Litton, Tom Brady, Tom Brady-esque.
Quarterback controversy. I think we got one. Litton, Mahomes.
It was funny. It was as soon as the touchdown pass to Robinson happened, it was like Twitter just went bonkers. I'm amazed the site didn't shut down. Everyone trying to get in the front of the line to do the quarterback controversy joke. It's like 5 in a row. Boom. It's like, okay, you know what the theme is? Comedically tonight on Twitter.
Bob, you're in the program. What was your thought, Bob?
Hello, Serena. It's good talking to you.
Good talking to you, my friend.
You know what? I've got no concerns with Mahomes because I think he put a lot of himself on that game. It was only 2 series. But my problem is with Bob Sutton.
Okay.
Our defense has been bad for 2 years. And I know you guys actually spoke about it before and kind of took away my thunder, that our defensive line has no pressure on the quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
They're letting them run the ball right through us. I think when Phillip Rivers and those guys play us, he's just licking his chops.
Yeah. I don't know that he's licking his chops because he hasn't exactly handled the Chiefs in a big, big way. But, you know, it wasn't – I'll say this. There was nothing we saw to say it's going to be any better. I mean, that's fair. I mean, I think that's just a fair, you know, fair assessment of what happened out there defensively. We wanted to see – you know, they've talked about a toughness. Maybe they're keeping it all under wraps. I'm fine with that. I mean, ultimately, none of this means anything. Right, I do think the third game is going to be kind of a note. Curtis went back and looked, by the way, and we'll get to Russell Wilson in a minute on what his numbers were against Kansas City, and that did come in the third game. So that does seem to be maybe the first time that we can really evaluate them. The first two games are going to be superfluous. But, you know, I do think if you're going to be tough and physical, you can be tough and physical while being vanilla. You can blow somebody up at the point of attack on the offensive line, and They did not do that. I'm with you, Bob. I think it was a letdown offensively, and it was a disappointment defensively. And that's it. We'll put it on the shelf and move forward, right?
You know, but especially on the offense, you know, I can see it being vanilla, because that's fine. But defense, I don't know why Andy is so obsessed with his son being the defensive line coach, and then with Bob Sutton being the defensive coordinator, because these guys have not shown anything. And that's why, you know, I don't care about the offense, because, you know, let those guys wait until the third, you know, game of the preseason. The defense needs to come out. And you can have a strong pass rush and be vanilla.
Agreed.
We don't have any tacklers either. They ran the ball right through us. And it's just, you know, I think, you know, by the end of preseason, you need to make a change if they don't fix it.
That won't happen. And Bob, thank you for the call, buddy. It's always good hearing from you. It won't happen. But yeah, I wanted to see more physicality. I am disappointed in the physical nature of the Chiefs. I didn't see anything that made it look like it's going to be anything more than the bend but don't break, let's hope we get a turnover style of defense. Plenty of time to change that, but that's my reaction from the first one. Breland Speaks is a guy I wanted to see some from. I saw a guy that has one pass rush move, run right into the tackle and try to shove him back.
Yeah.
Pure bull rush, that's it. I saw no other moves. What moves is he keeping on the shelf? Because tackles have seen the swim move. They've seen a spin move. I mean, they know there are moves out there.
Yep.
You're not hatching the new, you know, double front flip over the tackle to get to the quarterback move that you're going to unleash week one.
Now people know.
And I guess that's part of the deal, and they're dealing with Passanio as well. When you take a guy in his first experience in the NFL, he's at that position. He hasn't spent 3 years or so in college developing a pass rush. He hasn't had to. Breland Speaks never had to figure out what he wanted to do on the outside because he didn't have to do it.
Plenty of time.
Now he does. And
plenty of time for Passanio and Speaks to come along and be outstanding. But you know, a big part of what kept the Chiefs from really getting over the hump during the Carl Peterson era is they consistently bombed the second round.
Yep. Oh boy, they were bad.
I mean, the William Bartiz and Julian battles.
Eddie Freeman.
You know, that just crapped away. I mean, that's a premium draft pick. You know, you can't be swinging and missing on those. So, you know, I want to see something out of those guys.
Last night was kind of a microcosm of the issues with Bob Sutton's defense in the first place. Yes, they didn't game plan last night, so they were vanilla. But that's the problem with his defenses, at least recently, is that if they don't scheme something, they can't beat anyone. You know?
Yeah.
You just line up and physically
beat somebody. You can't
just
line up and beat somebody.
Last night was, to me, complete picturization of the issues people have had with Bob Sutton's defense the last 3 years.
If two teams are vanilla, then it comes down to who wants it more, right? Who's more physical? Who's more athletic? But again, screaming, yelling, upset? No, not at all. Russell Wilson's game against the Chiefs was the third game, and what did he do?
He was 13 of 19 for 185, so 10 yards per attempt. Two touchdowns, no interceptions, 134.8 passer rating.
Yeah. I just want to see that moment at some point during this preseason from Patrick Mahomes. If I never see it and then he lights up the Chargers, great. Don't care. But in the meantime, these games, that's what I want to see. I will comment about these games, so that's what I want out of these games. Michael, you're next in the program. What's up, Michael?
Hey, how you doing? How you doing? Bob kind of stole my thunder about the defense, but I do want to say this. Remember back in when Ray Lewis won his first Super Bowl championship, and they had kind of like an average quarterback. That was a shutdown defense.
Yeah.
That was a shutdown defense. And that's the standard what we look for, what I'm kind of looking for, because a lot of people, especially young people who start watching the Chiefs, they don't know what a shutdown defense looks like. They need to look at that Baltimore championship, that first one. Nobody couldn't run that ball. And so, but my question is,
hope that car's going past you.
They're coming for him. Okay, but my question is, why is it so hard for Bob Sutton to put together a shutdown defense? Because we on offense, we got a lot of pieces on there. I hate to say this, we can sacrifice to get a shutdown defense. I mean, y'all know more than I do. I mean, what's the deal to get a shutdown defense? And one other question, who was the defensive coordinator back then, if you can remember, when Ray Lewis won his first Super Bowl championship?
That was Marvin Lewis, the head coach of the Bengals. He was the defensive coordinator. Rex Ryan was the D-line coach. Jack Del Rio was the linebacker coach. I forget who the secondary coach was. But it was a really good coaching staff, obviously guys that went on to have a lot of success. Because I covered that Super Bowl and was out there and talked to those guys beforehand. It was a star-studded, you know, coaching staff. Not to mention a bag of really talented players. Your point's valid, Michael, and thank you for the call, bud.
Okay.
You know, that's where they have to go. Forget about last night's performance, right? Where they need to go is to get a lot better defensively. And that Ravens team had a Hall of Fame middle linebacker in Ray Lewis. It had a Hall of Fame, at that point, safety in his career in Rod Woodson. It had an all-pro corner in Chris McAllister out of Arizona, who was a first-round pick. at one side.
Dwayne Starks on the other side.
Dwayne Starks was a good corner and a high draft pick, I think a second round maybe out of Miami.
Yeah, they had loads of really, really good first round picks and then some really good free agent acquisitions.
Yeah, Tony Siragusa and Sam Adams in the middle were the two nose tackles. Mike McCrary was a good free agent signing on the outside. Rob Burnett was a third round pick at the other defensive end. And then the outside backers, they played that 4-3.
Peter Boulware
on one side and
James
Farrier.
No, there was Jamie. Oh man,
Jamie Sharper.
Yeah, I think it may be. Actually, I got the line right here.
Okay, but yeah, that was a lights out defense.
Yeah, Jamie Sharper, Ray Lewis, and Peter Boulware.
Yeah, and Peter Boulware was a first round pick. Mm-hmm. So you know they had invested a lot in that defensive side of the ball. The disappointing part about the Chiefs and when you look behind the scenes is that they have spent way more on the defensive side of the ball cap-wise than they have offense. Now, listen, Bob Sutton has had a top 10 scoring defense for the 5 years he's been here. Now, points allowed is a product of the whole team, right? Defense mostly, but Dave Tobe's special teams giving him good field position and Andy Reid's offenses getting the ball out from its own goal line and pinning him down, and Dustin Colquitt constantly putting the other team inside the 20, 15, 10-yard line to start are all big factors in how Bob Sutton was able to have a defense that was that good. He's been good in the past. He needs to be good again, and they're not going to be shut down the way that team was. But right. The better their defense is, the less you need from your quarterback. And so, yeah, they spent a lot of money on Sammy Watkins, but they really haven't spent that much money on the offense. They've spent a lot more on defense. The problem is they've spent it on guys that are aging and not able to make the kind of plays that they need. And then the guys that they spent it on have been hurt. Justin Houston and Eric Berry carry massive contracts, and they're not on the field. Right? The Chiefs, yeah, maybe they're just unlucky, and this is the year that everybody, the key guys, stay healthy. I'm going to tell you, it's by design that the New England Patriots do not have a Justin Houston, do not have an Eric Berry. They'd love a Justin Houston in his first contract on a cheap number. But the design of the New England Patriots and what I think every general manager in this team needs to look at, particularly if they've solved the riddle of a franchise quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, where you need to get to is where no one else on the roster is a huge hit to your cap. You know, I think you trade. When Richard Seymour was about to get paid, the Patriots traded him for two first-round picks. Right? They have guys that are good but not great. They're good everywhere across the board. They're great at quarterback, and they're good everywhere else. And if a guy goes down, no one player, two players, three players, or four players kill the New England Patriots. They don't have the highest-paid guy at any position other than tight end. Rob Gronkowski's the one guy. And they looked at trading him this offseason. So Gronk's the one guy that kind of flies in the face of that. But for the rest of the time, yeah, they kept Richard Seymour when he was cost-effective. When he got expensive, they sent him to the Raiders, and the Raiders sucked.
And with Gronk, I mean, I'm sure at some point Brady's like, sure, I'll take the minimum set, but you're paying that dude.
Well, I think it's interesting
that that guy in the red zone.
The report that came out that the Patriots are reworking the contract to Tom Brady with incentives to get him more money. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if this isn't the conflict of where Tom Brady has taken, you know, in my opinion, about 55 cents on the dollar of what he's worth, maybe 50 cents. And now where we hear that maybe there's a disagreement between there's unrest between him and Bill Belichick. Now he's like, all right, enough of this. Now I want to get paid.
Yeah.
Right. You're not going to have my back 100% across the board. Then time to get me paid. And let's see if it blows up in the Patriots' face. Hell, it could blow up in their face. They could go 8-8 and win the division by 3 games, as crappy as that division looks like it's going to be this year. 913-3810-810. More of your phone calls next here in the program. Talking Chiefs football here in the program, 913-3810-810. You can chime in your thoughts on how the Chiefs did. We're going to talk to Adam Teicher, get his thoughts on how the Chiefs did. Coming up in our next segment, Jazzy J wants to weigh in on the Chiefies. What's up, Jay?
Saran, I'm disappointed today.
Okay.
I feel like in a little bit, and I know it's preseason and you can talk me off the ledge, I feel like I've been sold a little bit of bag of goods of what I saw last night.
Okay.
I saw the same soft defense that I've seen for the last 2 years, and now they look like they even have less pep in their step than last year, and I didn't think that was possible. The offensive line got pushed around like rag dolls without Jadeveon Clowney or J.J. Watt in the mix. And I saw the same – what I saw last night's run was Alex Smith 2.0. I know that's not a totally given Pat Mahomes a fair shake, and I know it's preseason they go a little softer there and they don't show all their tricks. But let's be honest, we've seen that screenplay a million times before. We've seen the little 7-yard pass to Travis Kelce a million times before. I just don't see what's different other than we got a younger version of Alex Smith in there, and I know he can chuck the ball down the field, but the play calls are the same. They're the same. And this defense scares the crap out of me, and he had no time in that pocket either, and I'll let you speak to those two things. I don't see what's so great about this team right now.
No, I'm with you. And there isn't anything to celebrate. And thanks for the call, Jay. It's always good to talk to you, buddy. No, I mean, you know, we filed away. I mean, it's there are no conclusions to be made, but it's disappointing. I mean, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not crushing. Didn't rip our hearts out. We're not throwing away our Chiefs jerseys today. But no, I mean, it's the first one. It's a, you know, look, Houston was vanilla and they won 17-10.
Yeah,
they looked more impressive. That's it. It's as simple as that. You know, I'm not panicked. I do think this though. The toughness part of the equation on the defense, you can be tough even when you're vanilla. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, that's probably the most disappointing part of the equation. For me, even more so than Mahomes. Because I feel like Andy Reid's going to dial some things up. And I saw Patrick Mahomes play against the Broncos, really good defense. And I saw him have success. But defensively, no, that's the more disappointing point because I didn't see the toughness that they were talking about this offseason. Tyler, you're in the program. What's up, buddy?
How's it going? I think everybody's overreacting a little bit. To me, I think the best thing about last night was just seeing Mahomes take time and not make the extra risky pass. I mean, I think he could have launched a few passes downfield and maybe got picked off, maybe not. And I know it's horrible to take a sack, but, you know, I don't think it was such a bad thing in that situation to see him, like, make the decision that taking a sack's better than taking a pick here. And I think that is better, you know, in the long run than
Agreed.
Just seeing him. We know he can throw it long, you know.
Well, I you're absolutely right. I think, you know, much rather have him take the sack than throw the INT, and that was smart. And I liked what I heard from the man after the game when he said, listen, let's not take a bad play and make it worse. So I pulled it down and I took the sack. I agree. That was a really good play. I'm not as concerned about Mahomes as I am the defense. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's for sure. And, I mean, the defense did look a little weak, but, I mean, we have a lot of new pieces going, you know, this year. And without Raglan and Hitchens in there, Hitchens is supposed to be the quarterback of the defense. And, you know, that's going to make a big difference. And, I mean, it is, like I said, preseason game one. I mean, we're still in training camp. But I think everybody needs to settle down a little bit.
Do you hear anybody screaming and yelling?
No, not you. Just some of the callers, I feel like. And, you know, some of the narrative I've seen on Twitter and such. I mean, I think that people are overreacting, not you personally.
Twitter is the land of overreaction. There's no doubt. I will agree with you. And I think your point is valid, Tyler. Thank you for the call, man. I look at it the same way you do. It wasn't everything we wanted to see, but there's no reason to panic. I mean, that's how I would describe it. Sean, you're on the program. What's up, Sean?
Thanks a lot for taking my call. I really appreciate it. I'm a firm believer that defense is about attitude. And if you look at some of the great defenses, that's the one thing they had was that mean, nasty attitude. And I think even that nasty attitude can sometimes supplement for talent. It's about passion. It's about just getting at people's faces and celebrating and hitting people hard. And all I could think about kind of last night, or even obviously last year, was where's Gunther Cunningham? I know he wasn't perfect. I know he wasn't the perfect defensive coordinator, but it would be nice to see that guy, you know, or a guy like that operating our defense. Some guy who just gets in people's faces and just instills a really mean, angry attitude into a defense. I know Bob Sutton knows his stuff. He's very professorial, but that's what I'm really wanting to see out of the Chiefs defense this year is a new attitude, a new swagger. And last night, I mean, I know it's preseason. It didn't exactly give me an idea or a belief that's going to be happening this year. So I hope I'm wrong. We'll see what happens.
All right. And Curtis, bring up the Chiefs history. You know, go Pro Football Reference, the Chiefs history. And thank you for the call, Sean. And this is not – I get your point. You want more of a rah-rah fiery guy. And I think a lot of times there's a feeling that rah-rah fiery equals production, okay? But that's not always the case. I think Gunther Cunningham's tenure as a defensive coordinator in here in Kansas City is one of the more overrated entities in this city. And I'm going to tell you, you know, it was the Bill Cowher era somehow gets blended in. And even Dave Adolph, I think.
Yeah, Adolph was after Cowher.
That was after Cowher. That gets blended in with Gunther Cunningham's rankings. Marty Schottenheimer got here in 89, and the defense yardage rankings were total. Just total defense yards, 89 through when Gunther took over as the defensive coordinator in 95. What was 89 to 94?
89 to 94. Defensive ranking. You want yards and points?
Yeah, I got it right here. I'll do it.
No, in 89, it was
I want yards. I want yards.
Yards.
Just, where do they rank?
Yards is second.
Okay, sixth. I'm looking at 13th, 7th, 5th, 25th.
You're looking at offense.
Am I? Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Second, 16th, 13th, 5th, 11th, 14th. That's through – oh, and then 7th. That's through 94, you said. Okay.
Yeah, through 94.
Yeah.
I think you switched over.
I did.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll try this again. 2nd, 16th, 13th, 5th, 11th, 12th.
All right. Then Gunther took over 2nd, but then 18 and 11. And when he came back under Dick Vermeil, I mean, we know how that went. So
brutally.
Rah, rah. Listen, I don't really care. I don't care if a coach. What a coach says, he can be boring. Like Andy Reid's coach speak. I don't care. I care that he scheme it. And I think Gunther Cunningham's defenses got progressively worse, but I think the talent got older and that kind of – I mean, certainly everybody's better with great talent. Period, end of discussion. That's on Brett Veach. That's on Brett Veach to up the talent. Listen, this is a big one for him. He took six guys, five of which are going to play defense. And they need to – or was it seven? I have to go back and look. But they threw a lot on the defensive side of the ball. This defense needs to take a major step forward when you make that kind of investment on the defensive side of the ball. If not, then the Chiefs have got really big problems. You have to make good draft picks, period. End of discussion.